my next guest is named Sam Barnes, and I have known, well, let's see, I've known Sam, well, I met him, I'm trying to remember when I met you, Sam. You were here in Hawaii, it's 25 years ago? Was it 27 years ago or so?
Well, you know, I think it was in the 90s, early 90s, but I'm not sure.
well, Sam is...
I started going over there in the 80s to train with Master Chin every other year with this Tai Chi intensive he had there.
Ah.
And that's what brought us together when you were at one of the intensives.
That's right. Oh, well, you're the director of Tai Chi Work Studio and Qigong Healing Institute in Beverly Hills. And you've been teaching Tai Chi for more than 42 years, and you've traveled extensively. You've gone to some wonderful places and doing special trips tying in with the martial arts as well. And I wish I'd made a couple of these tours that you've done over the years. You did a tour of Tibet and China in 2015, and you did it again in 2017. And in 2019, you did Tibet and the 32-mile trek around Mount Kailash, which is quite an amazing journey in itself. Of course, then there was a couple-year break there. And you were doing some online teaching, I think, during the COVID era, and gained a lot of interesting new students that wanted to learn Qigong. But I wanted to talk to you about your latest adventures and your new occupation, I think, teaching at, I think, is it UCLA you're going to be starting your teaching at soon?
Yeah, UCLA sought me out and offered me a teaching position there to really focus on Chinese psychoneuroimmunology, which meaning the through movement, breath, and mind focus, the healing of the body with the mind, but using movements to integrate them into the body, and of course, breath work too. So we're beginning that process. I start classes next week, the first series in this semester, and I'm really looking forward to sharing at that in that venue.
I think it's amazing. Doesn't it kind of blow your mind, Sam, that you're able to reach people at this level at UCLA at this point? That's just a wonderful opportunity there.
Yes.
It's Thank great.
Now, yes, it is. And the reason is, one of the main reasons is UCLA and some groups and organizations on UCLA have done a lot of studies testing on Tai Chi and Qigong and the psychoneuroimmunology aspect of using Eastern modalities to heal the body. And so they've done a lot of studies there that have been published. And the pandemic kind of purged all the people, many of the people that were supporting them in providing Tai Chi and Qigong out. And that's why they sought me, because they've heard of me teaching in the community and what I teach. And so it looks like it's going to be a good opportunity to bring some of the ancient wisdom of China, the healing modalities, into that venue and allow for the Western mind that is a medical mind, Western medical mind, to see how this particular way of looking at healing works and incorporate maybe into their practices and teachings.
I love that. Well, you just did a fantastic trip to Bali. I was following you on Facebook, and you were posting pretty much every day, and you were doing, I don't know where you were staying, but it was lovely seeing you do your Tai Chi and mainly, I guess, Qigong moves every day from a courtyard there. Where were you staying in Bali?
Well, I actually, on this trip, went over mostly for myself to just be in Bali, bathe in the healing energy that Bali provides like no other place in the world that I've ever been. That was my fourth trip to Bali, and I caught the energy of it the first trip I was there. And the anchoring consciousness of the peoples that are there that believe in a mix of the local indigenous people of the island and Hinduism. And they are so profound in their practices and so dedicated in their practices that everywhere you go across the island, there's some type of ritual going on, there's some type of celebration. And so the consciousness there is a healing consciousness, meaning that they're in touch with their inherent nature, meaning love-based emotions. And all the fear is pretty much transformed there. And when you walk in, back into the Western culture, you feel, you're startled after being there for a month. It's just like, it just like makes you get stiff. Just walking in. I mean, it wasn't even the U.S. I flew to Singapore after 35 days in Bali, and I felt that I was being very alert, and I felt, oh, wow, such a different place. So I went there for that and to really train a lot on my own. And where I was staying was an Airbnb, and it was a villa. And I scheduled it online, and it was in the city of the Ubud, which is the cultural center, Ubud. There's 5 million people in Bali, but probably 4.9 million of them are down in Denpasar, about an hour away, where they have the international airport, more of a Western type of approach of civilization. But up in Ubud, it was just a mecca for people like myself. It's especially a yoga mecca. There's yogis from all over the world that are there, international people traveling there to train with these yogis. And I, for the first time, Cindy, for the first time, dove into yoga while I was there.
Ah.
For the first 14 days, I did 10 yoga classes.
Well, that's a lot of yoga.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I just dove into that particular way of looking at the world so that I could understand it. And I had a personal reason, because my daughter just became certified with her 200-hour yoga certification. So when next time I see her, I wanted to have her train me in a class of yoga. So I wanted to be a little prepared.
Well, there's all kinds of yoga now. I can't believe how many different styles of yoga. There's probably as many different styles of yoga as there is meditation. So what kind of yoga were you doing?
Well, you're right about yoga. It's kind of morphed into trying to make it more attractive to a broader sense of people. And so they're starting to, bring the teachers, the advanced teachers are starting to bring different ways of looking at the same thing, naming them differently, so that people can feel comfortable going in and trying it. And it, when they do that, that morphing, it kind of makes it easier in certain ways, and then allows certain people, especially elderly people, to feel comfortable doing yoga. So I did all of their more advanced ones. Vinyasa,
yeah.
Very famous. I did some hot yoga. I did yin yoga. I did hatha yoga, old traditional one. And then there's one over there that's a yoga that's starting to really grow. And in that area, and it's called Himalayan Kriya Yoga.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Well, wow. Kriya, if you know, yeah. is, if you know about Paramitra Yogananda.
Yeah, that's the higher
Kriya,
end. Yeah.
Babaji and all. Yeah, well, what they've done, this one teacher that was very advanced in yoga there, she started going to a ashram in India that's starting to birth this Himalayan Kriya Yoga out.
Wow.
And so I went to the first class, probably my fifth class I went to it, and it was just like Qigong, except for it was very, very primal.
Wow.
It was very, very tribal. I mean, it was tapping the body really hard, tongue coming out of the mouth all the way down to your throat, going, trying to do things that are in traditional Qigong. But traditional Qigong, in the Chinese perspective, over the centuries, has refined
yes.
the way the energy flows.
Yeah.
But this is very tribal, but it's very popular. And all the young yogi, future yoginis and yogis, the young people that are there to train with all the advanced yogis, they were all loving it, and
wow.
it's growing like crazy.
I mean,
they were loving it because
wow.
it was something different, and they felt good. It made a difference in their lives.
Uh-huh.
And I so happened to meet one of her, this person that's bringing it out, this yogi, out, one of her first students. And one of her first students was very interesting because she was a Western trained clinical psychologist at Pepperdine University. And she went there just on her way to Abu Dhabi and stopped there. And she went to Yoga Works in California, and it changed her life. But when she went to Bali and she experienced this Himalayan Kriya Yoga, it changed her life.
Wow.
And she is totally dedicated to it, and she is teaching it online to when people come there and practice yoga, then they like it. So now many of the yogi teachers over there are teaching online because the people go back to whatever country they're at, but they want to continue to do that practice with that teacher.
Amazing. So I want
to
hear
starting to birth.
I want to hear about this. What was the name of that bed and breakfast? It's always nice to know about a place. It looked beautiful. I mean, what was the name of the place?
Airbnb, and we can continue to talk. I'll look on my phone. He had a name, and I'll look on my phone. I can give you the exact name. I really didn't pay attention to it because it's in a painter's, like there's stone carvers complexes. There's painter complexes there. There are woodcutters. The families have their own complexes.
Yeah.
And in there, this fella, since 2008, this particular family member, the head of the family, put these units in the back of the complex right on the river facing the jungle.
Wow.
And you walk through this painter's complex, and it's like Bali's been forever and ever with all their temples inside. And I don't know if you know much about Bali, but the people that practice there have the temple they go to that's their community, or Panjar. And then they have their own temple. They're required to have their own temple in their complex. A full one.
I did not know that.
And so you walk through the temple and you go to the back, and it's really quite amazing. And they are so, so gracious in taking good care of you. I mean, they're just right there with you the whole time with compassion and joy and kindness, all the qualities we all know that are natural to us when we don't have any fear. And they express that in and just take such good care of you. I'm looking for the name.
Yeah, it looked like it had a pool and a nice courtyard as well.
Yes, it did.
Well,
it had a pool for sure. The courtyard was smaller.
Yeah.
And it was in the back of the complex. I'm getting close to finding. I remember taking a picture of the front of it, and I will tell you in a second.
So,
ask me another question.
I wanted to ask you about an important question because I was in Bali only once, and I wanted to go back. But I do remember that it was very difficult to get around in transportation. You can't really just rent a car and get around. So, how did you get around?
I had a scooter waiting for me. The guy that runs it, he rented me a scooter, and he rented me a good one. I got an upgrade, and scooters are so much fun there. They're the way to go. In fact, it's faster than if you didn't have any traffic and you have a car. And, so I had a scooter. The first time I went to Bali in 2017, I had a driver drive me around a couple times.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of apprehensive to ride on the scooters. I saw how crazy they were. But you know what? Once you get on it and you flow, you just flow. It's like doing Tai Chi. You flow along, and they're also happy and gracious. It's not like people in LA that would cut you over, mow you down if you did something to them. They all just kind of smile and realize you're a Westerner on a scooter, and you know, give you a blessing. In fact, Cindy, every day when I walk to my scooter, the mother, the wife of the head of the household, she would go out and she would put a blessing, meaning flowers. And
I love those.
Stuff, like she did all over on my scooter every day.
Wow. On the scooter. Well, you know, I mean, Sam, you're rather tall. You're rather large. The scooters are usually meant for people who are rather smaller than you are in places like Bali and China and Indonesia. Did you not feel rather a little larger than the scooter rider usually is?
Well, no.
No?
I did because where I was in Ubud, there's a lot of Westerners, and all the Westerners and the yogis, they all have scooters.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, everybody has a scooter. You can't get around with a car there. There's just no way. I saw some yogis coming down from where they were staying and walking down in the center were walking. I think they just refused to do a scooter, so they just walk.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that far.
Yeah.
I have the name for you now.
Oh, good, good, good.
It's called ADI, first word, Pana, P-A-N-A, bungalows, he calls them.
Oh, good.
Well, ADI Pan, and you can see him, if you go on to Airbnb, he's renting there now, and he doesn't say it's ADI Pana, but you can see he's got probably the best product out of all the offerings on Airbnb. In fact, I'm just booked to go back for another month in December and January.
Oh, how nice. Gosh, that's wonderful. So I was going to ask you, though, you're not doing any tours coming for a while because you're doing your UCLA thing, right? Are you planning any future tours?
Well, I am taking, I didn't announce it to the public, I am taking a group of students and people back to Bali with me for 2 weeks, January 2nd to January 15th.
Oh, nice.
And I'm staying, I've organized and rented out a woodcutter's compound out in the rice fields about 20 minutes by scooter out of the central Ubud. So it's not very far away, but it's really beautiful. Another beautiful family. I've known them since 2017. And there's a waterfall with your own river right there. It's just, they have wonderful food there right on the compound. And that's going to be the base for all of us. And every day, except for Sundays, I'll be teaching a class, a 9 a.m. class of Tai Chi and Qigong for the people to go along with me. And people, all the food is included, so they can eat there at this woodcutter's family restaurant, which he spent 11 years in the U.S., in Alabama, going to University of Alabama as a hibachi chef, speaks good English. And so we're just going to invade and take the whole compound.
Oh, we only have a minute and a half left, so give people the address or email, a best way to find out about that and you.
Oh, well, they can just text me at 310-722-8877. Text me if you're interested. I'd be more than happy to send you the information.
Well, I mean, and you're on Facebook, and you're very good about posting interesting things and beautiful pictures on Facebook under Sam Barnes. Is that it?
Well, it's under Sam Barnes, but the email address to connect with me through Facebook is taichiworksnow@gmail.com.
Tai Chi Works
so
Now.
taichiworksnow@gmail.com. And okay, that's usually how to see which Sam Barnes I am if you try to search me on Facebook.
Oh, that's good to know. Because I do enjoy seeing you do the wonderful moves and the different things and the different things you post. It's just wonderful to see how you have focused on your career, where a lot of people love these kind of things but haven't been able to make a career around them. You have been able to make a lovely lifestyle and stay dedicated to it all the way through COVID and everything. And congratulations on your teaching position at UCLA. That's just fantastic. And that you still get to do your wonderful trips and get to go to Bali again, which will be beautiful in January. I guess that's during break. So it's wonderful connecting. We haven't talked in a long time. So a big aloha to you, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cindy. A big aloha to you, too. I always enjoyed your energy, and I know you're doing great things in the world, too, and I'm so grateful to know you.
Thank you so much, and talk soon. Aloha.
Okay, aloha. Bye, everybody.
Bye.